Could I ask you please to turn to the 45th Psalm? Psalm 45. My heart is inditing a good matter, things which I have made touch them. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men, poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and thy majesty, and thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truthness and us. I shall teach thee terrible things. In the heart of king's enemies, for by people fathered. The Lord is forever and ever, the sceptre of the kingdom is a right sceptre. Righteousness and holiness, therefore thy God hath anointed thee with the oilness above thy fellows. Thy God smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among the honourable women. Upon the right hand did stand the queen. In thought to be able to we are presently in the joy and in the blessing of the wondrous love of God that found its source in his heart as it flows out to us. And I'm sure as we've been together those few days, this kind of feeling has filled our hearts that we are engaged with a matter that centers our attention upon the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way that the heart of God has been told out. This is the way that the hearts of his own have been drawn to himself, because of the contemplation. And the psalmist here, suddenly, because one has drawn attention to the fact that in the previous three psalms, I believe, the psalmist is falling. And if you look at the verse of the psalm, Psalm 44, our soul is bowed down to the dust. But suddenly, there's a tremendous change, and the barometer rises up, and this is because of this glorious person, Israel's Messiah, your head. So that the before us here is a matter of contemplation. I think we did find out when we came together to look at Isaiah 52 and 53 that we were at a matter of serious contemplation. And we were looking at things that center in our glorious Lord, and the contemplation has proved to be for us a time of real blessing. And I believe that deep impressions have been made upon our souls as we've considered the person of our glorious and adored Lord Jesus. A little word I felt strong would help us to see something about the past, something about the present moment, something about the future that centers in his glorious person. And this is when we come to look at this and listen to the contemplation, I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. Mine is the pen of thou art fairer than the children of men. One of the first things I believe that we did see in our contemplation of Isaiah 52 was the wondrous fact of deity. The person so wondered in the verses that we're considering together in the Bible readings, it's God. Though there's something distinctive, what an attractive person for our hearts. If the world around us have the attitude of the verses in Isaiah, no beauty. that we should desire him, how precious to be able to see the beauty of Jesus. I trust all in this position that we see beauty in him. We see the beauty that shines out to the eye that's open. I trust that every eye in the company tonight is open to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see in him that wondrous beauty shining. Thou art fairer than children of men, deity. He's gone. He's man. And from heaven, out of palaces into this world of woe. Only his great eternal love made our Savior go. And so is that we're looking tonight at the one who's gone. Fairer than the children of men, distinctively other. And now, here, grace poured into his lips. The words of grace that fell from his lips. To be able, as we have done, to trace him here as a man. To think of the way that he moved. And to see the attractiveness of the man down here. It is true that when men rebelled because of the vision, saw no beauty in him, that they turned their back on him. Oh, beloved, one circumstance, one time will ever be called to go, might be, whether it be sickness or whether it be sorrow, there is no circumstance but what the Lord Jesus Christ has been through it himself. He is able to succor, he's able to support. What a wonderful person. And yet we admire, as we think and read through the Holy Gospels and see and trace the footsteps of Jesus, how our hearts are touched by this one that we speak of. Grace is into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. This is God's king, so far as Israel is concerned. This is God's man down here, through whom all this wondrous and glorious activity of grace is going to take place. And these are the things that you and I are considering together. Well, might it be emphasized that this is a song of love, a song that depicts the intensity of the love of God as we see it in Jesus, in his passage through this scene. So the verse 2 brings to our hearts, just for record, the attractions of our adorable Lord. And then we come to look at the 4 and 5. Thy sword, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. These are the elements, thinking about the Lord Jesus. They could only be seen blended in such a person as our blessed, adorable Lord. The one with majesty, power and glory, and yet meekness, truth, and righteousness. What a blessed and wonderful contemplation it is. And so it takes us on, depicted in those 3 verses, I believe, the glorious, wonderful advent of the Lord Jesus, taking in not only his incarnation, his coming into this world, but his pathway through the world, righteousness, holiness manifested in him, in his pathway here. But it takes us, I believe, to his pathway, to the cross, to his death, to his burial, and to his wonderful resurrection and ascension to the Father's. Think of today, as we look back to Calvary, and we think of today, we think of this glorious man who's been referred to, Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into manhood, who came through this world in all its sin and sorrow, and all its sicknesses, and who bore our sorrows and our sicknesses, and now is ascended, glorified at God's right hand, today the man in the glory of God. Oh, that it might instill into our souls as we consider these things, because it brings us the wondrous joy of heaven itself, that he should come out of the ivory palaces, out of that circle of holy love, and come down into this world to make a pathway here. Think of that river flowing, the river of God's grace through righteousness supplied, is flowing over the barren scene where Jesus died. And so it is that we look up this day and see seated at the right hand of God a real living man. I believe it's to be emphasized, you know, that he is there in reality. He is there as a man in God's presence. And the fact fills our hearts with joy. The fact that he's there in the presence of God is the guarantee for all of us here who trust in his precious blood that we shall be there in his presence. We look forward to the future. Stretched before us lies a future full of bliss. No tongue can tell. But in the meantime, as we are journeying on to share in that glory and victory, there is something that is unique to us here by the Holy Spirit. We've been speaking about the fact of the Holy Spirit indwelling our hearts today and bringing to us something of the wonder of this prayer, so that we can, in our souls, as we have been, I believe, those few days, thrilled with the sense of all that he is, the wonder of his glorious person, the depths to which he has gone, the enormity of guilt that he bore on the cross, the wonder of his glorious resurrection and ascension to God's right hand, and also the fact that there he is today in the glory, seated at God's right hand in heaven's glory, and you and I, with the presence of the Holy Spirit in all our hearts and with the company, can enjoy and enter into all those realities of blessing that are going to be our portion in the future. I want to say a few words too about what comes following on from this. Verse 7, thou lovest right, and here for God with the oil above thy all the oil of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby made. I must say that's the verse that touched my heart. This is the verse that has been on my heart, came together to consider this particular portion, and I believe that it does convey to us something of the wonder of his glorious person. All thy garments smell of myrrh. When we look at the scriptures about these things, I know, like our brother who has just been speaking to us, I cannot draw from any concordance or from any book the exact meanings. I don't know if there is a reliable definition, but one thing I do know, that myrrh was used for two purposes, so far as we can see in the Holy Scriptures. One was connected with beauty, and the other was connected with death. And so if we think about this, we think about the beauty that shone out in our peerless Lord, trod the path to the cross. And then you'll remember that these prices were the combination of the holy and oil, and they are joined and blended together in the person of our blessed Lord that we're contemplating together. Myrrh speaks to us of the beauty of the Lord Jesus and the fact that he has gone into death. And this touches our hearts. And then aloes speaks of that which we can gather bitterness. A fresh that is other side of bitter is a bitter quid, and so it links our thoughts with the man's sorrows and the quid with grief. These are fragrant things to us. I'm sure we are enjoying something of the fragrance of this consideration as we look at Isaiah 53. The fragrance of that which, even when it is bringing forth this kind of fragrance, with it blended, there is a bitterness. And in the bitterness of Calvary, we are coming to in our consideration, when all God's waves and billows rolled over him, we believe that there was a fragrance there that the heart of the Father could take account of. I think what we are considering now is to see that all this that we're speaking about and all the things that we are concentrating on were in the heart of the blessed God. He is the source of it all. As we thought about that river that rose from the source and spread out, and the end of the matter is universal blessing. And I think this is in the psalm. Not that I want to go on to the end of this matter and and give any detail about it. But we know, if we read it through, we know that it takes in not only the nation of Israel coming under the glorious sway of the Messiah, but it also takes in the nations of the earth coming into blessing in relation to Israel, and it ends with a universal blessing. And you know, beloved, you and I are in it. We're in it because when we think, when we're talking about this, and I say this and hope that some of the young people may take the trouble to look into these matters, but when we speak about the millennium and the wonderful rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, believers today are in it, and we're in it in a very real way. So that the Apostle Paul spoke about the world to come of which we speak. And if we speak about it, we ought to know something about it, and the place of the believer in the world to come is reigning with Christ. And the place that we will have as reigning with Christ is dependent on faithfulness down here in the path of discipleship. I trust, beloved of the Lord, when we have had this consideration and wills, we will leave this place with deep impressions upon our hearts that will bring response from every one of us in the pathway down here, practically speaking. But after all, this is the idea of our being together, and I believe this is the exercise behind those considerations, that in the day, something might be wrought in your heart and mine that will result in true response and practical walk down here for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our pathway. And then there is this other thought of cassia. And again, it links with what we are thinking about today. It's the healing balm, the healing balm. By his stripes, we are healed. And the every family, the nation Israel, nations of the earth, by the stripes he endured. And we have already considered today that these stripes, as we thought about them, are at the hand of God. For our sins in his own body on the tree, and also he withstood that abandon of God, and in the agony of Calvary, he won the victory. So what comes out at the end of this is the victory. So we look back to the past, and we see the wonder of the work of the Lord Jesus, the glorious advent into this world, incarnation, pathway of fearless worth, the cross and all that it means as we're considering it, resurrection, ascension to God's right hand, enthronement in the presence of God, and that's the position for today. That's where he is today, a man in glory of God, and now his thoughts and his eyes are here, watching over his ransomed people to his gracious heart so dear. And there he is interceding on our behalf. And we believe that our consideration this week will bring to our hearts thoughts of himself that will deeply impress all our hearts, not just while we're here, but more particularly when we leave here and go into the field of our everyday efforts, that God in his mighty and wonderful love to us by the Holy Spirit will bring those thoughts to us, and know that the Lord Jesus, while we are here, his thoughts and eyes are with us, he's watching over us, and we are dear to his heart. And I trust that as we consider this, like the psalmist of all that we are thinking about, hearts bubbling over. I don't know, historically, some say that this connects with Solomon, and some say it connects with Hezekiah, but I believe that beyond it all, it connects with you and I and the person of our glorious, adorable Lord, and I trust that the result will be that we'll bubble over before we leave this place, not only in effervescence, but in such reality that our hearts will be marked, and that impression will go with us as we leave this place. Well, may the Lord just add his blessing to considerations of his glorious person, for his name's sake.